I'm Bryce Eddy, and welcome to Liberty Station. We've got a fabulous guest tonight because we are in really the fight for our children's lives. And my guest today is James Rogeski. And James was instrumental in getting the WHO to essentially be defeated in some of the things that they were really working on doing here recently. And, you know, our theme of this show is to be a threat to the Great Reset. And James is on the front lines of that. And, you know, really, truly a hero and mentioned by name and some of the things that are going on here. And he and I are going to talk, you know, also very quickly about, you know, how we all need to be engaging in what's happening now with respect to our children. So with that, James, are you there?
I am. Thanks for having me. Just tell me what you want to talk about. There's so many things. You get to pick and choose.
All right. Well, no, that sounds good. So, you know, this is, you know, an awesome sort of conversational format. And so, you know, we can bounce around here. But what I first love is for you to talk a little bit about, you know, your background, you know, where you came from, you know, how you got into this little fight that we've got going on here. And then, you know, let's talk about the World Health Organization and, you know, what you did there. And then let's talk about the FDA and everything that's going on.
All right. Well, I'm 62 years old, so I'll try not to spend 62 years telling you my story. But I'll tell you the one of the first things I remember. Okay. And it is really very instrumental. I grew up in Ohio. I went to a parochial Catholic school. And in fifth grade, Sister Mary Ursula was teaching us about the national parks of the United States. And she got to California. Now, I grew up in Ohio. I live in California now. But I was in Ohio when we were having this class. And she was talking about the parks in California. And she started telling us about Yosemite Park. And so I said, excuse me, sister, I have a question. And I was a good student. I'm a straight A student, right? And so I'm like, yeah, you know, I watch Bugs Bunny every Saturday morning. You know, it's not quite a religion, but I'm pretty there every morning. And, you know, he's got this character called Yosemite Sam. So I'm confused. Is it Yosemite or is it Yosemite? Right. And so, you know, that didn't obviously go over very well. So in fifth grade, I learned in a very fun way that my teachers were fallible.
Yeah.
And oh, boy, is that an important lesson to learn. Okay. And then you learn about the scientific method. And, you know, it really concerns me when I hear people say, trust the science or follow the science. Science is not a thing. Science is a process. Science is you have an idea, you think it fits and explains the situation. And if you truly practice the scientific method, you take your own theory and you try to break it with every ounce of your being. You try to prove yourself wrong. You ask all of your friends, all of your, you know, colleagues, whatever it might be. You go, hey, look at this, please, and do everything you can to break it. And so when I went to school 40-some years ago, I studied computer science. And if you are given an assignment to write a program, there's always going to be some weird data that shows up and it makes your program explode. You know, then you get to work for Microsoft, right? But if you want to have a program that doesn't have these bugs in it, you have to really think through, you know, what might be something that you're not thinking of, okay? And so the scientific mindset actually goes out and seeks criticism, right? If you've ever written something, right? You know, you write it and version one, version two, version three, and you could keep at it forever. It's never, ever perfect. You hand it to somebody else and they just get out the red pen and they slash it, right? And if you don't, you know, if your mindset, if your your personality, the way you're wired can't handle that criticism, then the world of science is going to be really hard on you. Because, you know, you want to put your theory out there and you want it, you know, if it's a good theory, it'll hold water, even though a lot of people are poking holes in it. Well, we seem to have this dynamic where when you couple that scientific outlook with people who feel that individuals should be free to live their own life, that they should make their own choices, make their own mistakes, have their own success, okay? What happens is you get people separating more and more and more. There are those who say, look, you know, I'm going to be me. You let me be me, I'll let you be you. And, you know, wherever we have common ground, we'll come together and we'll share our lives together. And if you have a different aspect of your life, you're more talented and, you know, you do those things, I do these things. What happens is the people who are scientifically minded and have that sort of freedom focus, they typically don't seek office. They don't seek power. They don't want to control other people. And so over time, you get this separation of personality types where the people who are like, you know, just leave me alone. Let me live my life. Don't tell me what to do. You know, I'll challenge my own ideas. I'll learn. I'll be creative. They're separated from the people who are seeking power. And those people typically also have almost a religious zeal for, you know, not religion and the spiritual connection to God kind of thing. They're very separated from God.
It's a cult. They have a cultish drive.
In addition to that cult-like, you know, adherence to the group's belief, you know, if you go back a couple of hundred years, and maybe not even that long, but the infallibility of the Pope, right? You know, it's like whatever they say is gospel. There's this mindset amongst people that seem to gravitate to power, whether it's elected office or appointed office or whatever, where, you know, they say things like trust the science or follow the science.
I am the science.
Thanks a lot. I forgot about that. When you hear things like that, and you are somebody who appreciates the scientific method and the wonderful interactions that come when people have good, honest conversations and everybody ends up being a little bit better because everyone brought whatever they bring to the table and you honestly share those ideas. And so the more those things got separate, the more you get to this point where the people who want to control everything are so separate in thinking from the people who want freedom and creativity and a scientific challenge. You know, we've gotten to the point where they're so far apart, you know, something's going to snap. And, yeah, you know, science wins over false belief, okay? And, you know, belief in God, belief in a spiritual, belief in all that interconnectedness, that's not what I'm talking about when I say believe. They have belief in their own, you know, infallibility that, right, you know, whatever they, it goes all the way back to the 20s where there was this belief that a technocratic society where, you know, smart people could make all of the decisions. And so now that's what you see with the WHO, where they believe that there should be one health, one society, one government, one way of doing things, one group of people in control. And what you lose is the individuality, you lose the variety, and quite frankly, you lose the creativity, where if you want to bring that all the way back around full circle to COVID, individual doctors, you know, the FLCCC, the frontline doctors, Dr. Chetty, if you're familiar with Shankar Chetty in South Africa, you know, doctors who treated thousands of patients and not one of them even went to the hospital because they treated the patient with what they were dealing with, you know, in front of them, according to their skill set and their intuition and their insight and everything else, versus, you know, commands from on high from some bureaucrat who's never treated anybody. You know, it's the height of folly. And, but it really, at its core, it's, I think, a psychological issue. The people in power crave power, and the people who are making the world work just want to have control over their own little, you know, lives and be free to do what makes sense in their lives. And I know which side I come down on.
Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting. You're right, because, you know, what what happened to most of us, you know, and this is, I think, true of conservatives, and you know, and I don't mean Republicans, because you know we have you know, great reason to be, you know, very upset with, you know, our politicians on both sides. And I think the, you know, Republicans were, you know, criminal in a lot of this stuff and the things that are happening now. But most of us who are conservative, we're running our lives, running our businesses, you know, having our, you know, happiness in our communities, doing our thing, you know, enjoying life. And then all of a sudden, you know, we get caught flat-footed with all this stuff because those folks that were seeking power and, you know, working to, you know, oppress us have been working for very diligently for very long. And then, you know, started to use all of these opportunities on a worldwide basis, coordinating to, you know, to oppress us. And, you know, that's what we're seeing right now.
So going forward, it took me 62 years. It wasn't just until this year that I realized I was born in the astrological sign of the Taurus, the bull. And somebody asked me that. I said, oh, you know, when's your birthday? What's your sign? And what do you do?
Right.
And I realized, you know, it's maybe a funny joke. Maybe it's a bad joke. It took me 62 years to realize that maybe the reason that I'm really good at identifying bullshit when I step in it is because I'm born under the sign of the bull. And there is so much bullshit going on around here that, you know, what I've done is written books and published articles and things where, you know, you look at something and you go, well, that's just wrong. Somebody's doing something wrong to some other person. And, you know, it's usually somebody in a position of power doing something wrong to somebody who's in a much lesser position of power. And just something in my upbringing, you know, when I see that, I have to say something. And so to tell you a story of how I actually got into this specific situation, going all the way back to 2020 in January, I read one of the first preprints that talked about how the genetic sequence of whatever this is, you know, that we're dealing with, had some evidence of purine cleavage sites and HIV residue in it. And in January 2020, I'm like, uh-oh, you know, what is going on here? So, you know, my bullshit detectors were in the red zone early on. So I ended up having like 6 websites that were dedicated to this whole issue. You know, I was talking to people about ivermectin, you know, in May and June of 2020, long before, you know, anybody started doing all this sort of thing. Not to say that I'm any, you know, quicker or better. It's just I have an open mind, and when there's information out there and you look at it, you go, wow, that makes sense. I mean, I remember the first interview I did, the comments, I think this was in like September of 2020, a couple of months before Pierre Corey talked to the Senate. And I, you know, I did an interview and I was talking about ivermectin, and the comments were just nasty, right? Oh, this guy's crazy. Okay. I'm like, hey, you know, here's the science, right? You know, I'm just pointing to it. And so a couple of years go by, you know, I obviously did not get injected with anything. And, you know, I'm reporting on as much of this as I possibly could. And in January, I was working in my yard. I live in Los Angeles and have a little bit of a food forest and, you know, was doing some gardening. And I put a prayer out to the universe. I said, God, you know, I feel pretty good right now. I'm blessed. Whatever you want me to do, just tell me and I'll do it. And I've said that kind of prayer in the past where I kind of learned along the way somewhere that, you know, praying for stuff doesn't really work, and praying for guidance, strength, and protection is pretty much all I ever asked for. And sometimes it hits you like a lightning bolt. You know, you ask for something and boom, you know, it's right there. And this one didn't come so quickly. A couple of weeks later, I got an email from my website hosting company that all my websites were going to go away in a day or so because I had broken some rule. And, you know, I asked and they never said what the rule was. I think it was because I published an article about Run Death Is Near, meaning remdesivir. And so when I got that email and I realized that my, you know, 10, 12 years worth of work, not to mention the past 2 years, just, you know, kind of full time.
Yeah, because you were on Yeah, because on your websites, I mean, you've been, you know, essentially, you know, researching and diving into the science on all kinds of things that, you know, were maybe counter to, you know, conventional wisdom or counterculture at the time, you know. And by the way, a lot of these sort of things, you know, you were ahead of a lot of conventional wisdom, because, you know, I've noticed that over the years, you know, a lot of these like medical doctors and things like that that went to school, especially with nutrition, because nutrition is one of those areas in which people, you know, the doctors go to school years ago, they've got, you know, very little true nutrition education as a part of their, you know, schooling. They come out with some things. There's a few journals, you know, that are supporting certain things. And then, you know, the people that are really expressly and deeply studying nutrition are a lot of the, you know, biohacker type people that are, you know, experimenting on themselves, you know, having, you know, continuous blood sugar monitors. And they're going, oh, okay, here's what we found and all stuff. So they're ahead of all of these published journals that these doctors or these, you know, very, very brief classes. And so, you know, then now a lot of those things get caught up later. Sometimes they never do. But, you know, you're looked at as a heretic. But in reality, you know, you're ahead of it.
I credit Sister Mary Ursula for teaching me about Yosemite Park.
Yeah.
You know, I learned that I have to question what I'm being taught.
Yeah.
And you're self-selected. If you're a medical doctor, you don't have time to question. You know, you
right.
go along to get along. And, you know, so it was a wonderful blessing. So after my websites were taken away, in the moment, okay, I was actually very happy with myself, because my thought was, hey, I asked God for an opportunity to serve. And I was like, well, I just got a whole bunch of free time set up, because all of the work I had been doing, you know, not that it was a ball and chain, but it was released. And so then I fell down the rabbit hole digging into something called the Pandemic Treaty. And I got dragged out of bed one morning and, you know, just mentally, I was like, there's something I need to do. I need to go look for something. And that's when I found this document that was the amendments to the international health regulations. And, you know, I had a shiver go down my spine. I'm like, oh boy, I asked for an assignment, and this sure looks like that would fit the bill. And so I felt like it was my obligation to keep my word, that I said, hey, anything you ask me to do, I'll do it. And it sounded pretty crystal clear to me that I had been led to a document that was pretty darn important. And it became pretty clear that there was only one tiny little article about it, which is how I found it. And then it was completely hidden. And if you remember famously Nancy Pelosi saying about the Obamacare Affordable Care Act, oh, you know, I know it's 1,400 pages, but, you know, you can read it. Just vote for it. You read it later.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think her direct quote, because I was, you know, watching that, you know, heavily in my business at the time, was, you know, we just need to pass it and then we'll find out what's in it. And right. it was something like the first part of it, it was 1,900 pages, I think, and it swelled up to something like 2,600 pages. But yeah, we're going to pass it and then we'll find out what's in it.
And so there was no discussion whatsoever of this topic at all. And what I found in there was incredibly confusing language. A thought came into my head as I was reading it, just oozing with deceit. I mean, you know, when you read what was in the amendments, you know, kudos to whoever wrote it, because it was very craftily written. But I've read enough of these things to be able to see, you know, what it actually is really attempting to do. It reads one way when you just glance at it, but when you actually sit there and you really try to figure it out, you go, oh man, if somebody wanted to use this to their advantage, it's certainly written in a manner that they could. And luckily, I guess, or because I was prepared to see this kind of stuff, my eyes gravitated to something that literally looked like a needle in a haystack of words. Part of what they were doing was adding language to the regulations, but there would be a strike through when something was being removed. So the words that were struck through, there was a line, it was very thin, looked like a needle, okay? So I found the proverbial needle in the haystack. They were removing language that limited the power of the WHO. So the net result was power would be transferred from the individual nations to the director general of the WHO. A sort of great reset, if you would.
Yeah. That's a Trojan horse, takeover, by globalists is what we're talking about here. Because if they can, shut us down because of the next pandemic or start to dictate, that is an attack against our sovereignty. And, we're walking, I think, intentionally into those things right now.
And you said the key word, dictate. In Roman times, the definition or the name given to the person who was put in charge when there was an emergency, the person who would bark orders and dictate what should be done was called a dictator. And so you really can't have dictatorship unless you have this ongoing emergency. And what those 10 words being removed would do would enable the direct, I refer to him, he would have been the dictator general of the World Hypnosis Organization, because he would have gotten complete and total control over declaring whether or not any nation, including the United States, there would be declared a state of emergency in their sovereign territory. So fast forward, the last week of May, that amendment went down to a stunning complete and total, I should say that 13 pages worth of amendments went down to a complete and stunning rejection. It was just never even voted upon, most likely because many of the African nations and a bunch of other nations around the world probably actually looked at it and read it. And they, said, what in the world do you think, what are you doing? Okay. And so the surprise answer to my prayer had a cherry on top of it, because in the middle of the World Health Assembly in the last week of May, another group of nations put forth a totally separate set of amendments, different than the Biden amendments. They wrongfully, illegitimately presented it in the middle of the assembly. It's supposed to be done 4 months early, okay? So they got away with breaking their own rules, but that's how they roll. And it started in discussion, as is a nice word, where they presented this document a couple of hours before they were supposed to vote on it. And so the debate continued from Tuesday to Wednesday to Thursday to Friday. They made a handful of changes in it, and they ended up adopting it on Friday. And it wasn't until later in the weekend that I actually had time to sit down and read it. And much to my surprise, it actually took away some of the control from the WHO and gave the individual nations a little bit more control. And so that was the cherry on top of just the complete and total victory over what they were trying to do. And, sometimes your prayers get answered in ways that go beyond what you would have ever expected. So, always leave it open to have more. Don't limit yourself to what you ask for, because there's always more. And so, fast forward, here we are now. The FDA is doing things this month. If you want to talk about that now, or if you've got...
Yeah, well, I just have one comment on that. And, by the way, thank you for fighting that fight, because, friends, who introduced us have talked about and highlighted the fact that, you are and have been by a lot of people credited for, really being the, whistleblower on this thing, or, really highlighting what was, what the attempt was. And the attempt was, a globalist takeover, of our sovereignty. And it was, sort of a clever, remember, there's this, whole push to destroy our sovereignty. And I've, said it on the show many times. It's starting with our national sovereignty, but then, it's going right on down to our individual sovereignty, which is what we are going to transition to next. But this fight is not over because, as you know, they attempt it one time, they attempt it one way, they were going to attempt it another way soon. And so I am so appreciative and encouraged by you because, you know, people like you, you know, and again, this is another thing that I keep saying, and it's a sort of an ongoing theme in my mind that, you know, this decade, you know, 2020, you know, was the start of the decade of the warrior, and it includes guys like you who are, you know, not going to be fatigued by diving into the details of these things and, you know, going down and looking for those needles in the haystacks and, you know, making sure that it gets publicized so that the, you know, the rest of us can, you know, join you in the opposition. So thank you for that. But yeah, let's talk right now about what they're doing with the vaccine, because this is frightening to me. You know, they're really making a hard push towards vaccinating our kids, and they have a few different fronts on that in that battle. And so let's talk about what they're doing now.
You know, same story. You know, the information is there, but because the media presents a million different things, and you're distracted by this and distracted by that and distracted by the other thing, these things sneak up on you. And if somebody doesn't say, hey, I know you're watching television or on social media, and there's all these many things that seem important, but, you know, I've learned that when everybody's talking about something over here, there's probably something over there that's happened that you might want to pay attention to. Okay.
Yeah. And so, well, we had that just recently, you know, on the day that there was the, Roe versus Wade Supreme Court brief leak, we had 2,000 mules come out, we had the Pfizer documents drop. And so, you know, while everybody's talking about the Supreme Court, and I can't help but think that that's intentional, you know, people were ignoring the other things that were going on and the other things that should have been, you know, front page news.
And so I've just had enough experience to observe, not only mainstream media is talking about that, but half of alternative media gets sucked into talking about what mainstream media is talking about. And they're saying, well, you know, here's our view of what they're talking about, but you're talking about it. And if you're sucked into the narrative, even if you're opposing the narrative, you're missing the point because that's a distraction. Okay.
Yep.
And so what's going on with the FDA, you know, just minor things like injecting gene-altering compounds into six-month-old infants. Nothing to see here, folks. You know, move along. And so, you know, to be serious about it, I think it's 2 days. I don't even know what day it is today. You know, the other day, yesterday, I guess it was, they had a meeting with the Vaccine Advisory Committee, and they apparently are going to authorize Novavax. And so that's a whole pile of information. On the 14th, they're having another meeting to consider Moderna in 6 to 17-year-olds, I believe. But the big day, the main one that I'm focused on, is on the 15th, which is next Wednesday. It's a doubleheader. They're going to be considering both Moderna's and Pfizer-BioNTech's injections for infants from 6 months to 5 or 6 years, depending upon which company. And so there will be all kinds of information. There will be all kinds of claims and data and reports and studies. And I'd like to start off just by letting everybody in on, you know, the punchline that, you know, that I think comes from it is babies don't die from COVID. They may come into contact with COVID, but their immune system is young and, you know, obviously immature and undeveloped. It's still learning, and it learns very, very quickly. And it doesn't have a hyperactive panicked response that can aggravate the problems. If anybody knows what Dr. Chetty has done, you know, he essentially treats the histamine response and the cascade of events that happen when people have, you know, you can have a viral infection and survive it quite well. But then afterwards, you go through the cytokine storm and the histamine response and, you know, almost the time-delayed anaphylactic whole-body response, and you get organ damage, and it catches people by surprise. They're actually dealing with the viral infection, and it's not the virus that kills people. It's their own immune system that is over, you know, responding and so forth. And so to look at the, you know, data of the fact that infants and babies and young children just, they don't die from COVID. They learn from COVID, okay? And now we're going to take that away, or they're trying to take that away, by injecting them with something that has, you know, arguably been proven to be an absolute disaster. Many thousands upon thousands of people have died, been permanently, you know, damaged, maimed, injured, horror stories that are just met with denial, okay? And so what's happening on Wednesday is they're considering approving, or I should say authorizing for emergency use, which kind of sort of by definition means that they are experimental. So, I mean, we're really, you know, one person said this to me and I find it hard to deny. We're dealing with, you know, potential child sacrifice of 20 million kids. The government has already purchased, or at least agreed to purchase, 10 million doses. How does a government do that prior to it even being authorized? Unless the fix is in. Okay. Now, you know, I have faith and I'm praying, you know, in the goodness of humanity, that the people in the advisory committee and the people in the FDA come to their senses and realize that they actually have an opportunity to be a hero, right? The FDA employee who, you know, usually it's the chief scientist or could be any other bureaucratic administrative person in the FDA who's given the authority, delegated the authority by the secretary, you know, to sign off on writing the letter of authorization for the Moderna and Pfizer. You know, I just pray that they can't digitally put pen to paper and they just can't send the letter, that their humanity takes over and they go, no, I will not put, you know, they will not put their name on the document that ultimately leads to the death and, you know, damage to millions of little babies. I'm holding out the faith that they won't be able to do that, that God just won't let that happen. And, you know, if everybody is just in a slumber, if everybody is, you know, thinking about themselves and not concerned about this issue, then, you know, the whole energy of what's going on in the world will allow that kind of evil to take over. And so the statistics don't bear it out. The studies, you know, they haven't released them yet. They're going to release them on Friday. And one of the things I do in every interview is I invite everyone who's watching to give me a phone call. My phone number is 310-619-3055. Don't call me right now. I know we're not live, but, you know, when this is over, you know, I have gotten to speak with so many wonderful people because people need to be heard and they have value to offer. And so this Friday, when all of those documents are released to the public, if you're out there in the, you know, listening audience, viewing audience, and you have a mind to dig into those documents, I know what I'm going to be looking through this weekend. And it's boring as all get out, but until you find something and you look at it sideways and you go, what is it they're trying to hide there? It's usually the things that are missing or the things that are presented in a way that, you know, make your mind go, what is really going on here? Because it's not ever obvious until you see it, and then you can't not see it.
Yeah, no, they're very clever. Yeah, they're very, very clever about how they obfuscate and confuse it and use, you know, the language of art, you know, in order to say that, oh yeah, no, we put it in there, but it's it looks meaningless to most people or confusing, and if you read it with a clear spirit and, you know, careful eye, you do start to pick up, okay, what are they hiding here? You know, why are they wording it that way? You know, or like you did with the WHO document, okay, look, they cross things out that limit the power. Ooh, interesting. You know, all of that needs to be paid attention to. And yeah, I mean, our audience, we have, you know, smart warriors out there that can, you know, read boring documents. And yeah, I mean, let's get everybody. That's how you get through these things in time. They do these data dumps in these big chunks intentionally, you know, that it's the same thing that they do when they're, you know, when Congress is trying to pass these bills, you know, they dump, you know, 2,000 pages, you know, on the table and then have everybody vote for it the next day. And, you know, all of these things that are put in there by, you know, these evil lobbyists or special interest groups or, you know, lawyers that are writing them, you know, it is a intentional game that they play. And it's evil and it's manipulative. The wild thing on this really is, I mean, yes, you know, kids have not been sick, kids have not been dying, and by not been sick, you know, I saw it in my own household. You know, my daughters, when, you know, exposed to COVID, you know, my wife and I got it. We had a few, you know, rough days. You know, took no treatments because, you know, when we got it was kind of early on, and then, you know, we got the, you know, later, weaker version, and our body was pretty prepared for it. So, you know, it was rough for us. Felt like a flu to me. I know you're not allowed to say that, but felt like a flu to me. But my girls sailed right through with you know, mild colds, essentially. I mean, you know, my youngest daughter, you know, had sniffles and, you know, felt a little off for a day or two. You know, babies, you know, largely nothing is happening. And certainly the only cases of children that have died since the very beginning of this are children that were, you know, fighting leukemia and, you know, were had cerebral palsy. And I mean, you know, kids that were dealing with devastating illnesses already were the only ones. And even there, you know, the total number was, you know, infinitesimal, you know, here in the United States. So the only real reason that they're doing this is for the love of money. You know, this is a massive financial play. And then it also gets compliance, and it ensures that, you know, we all comply. And then, you know, third, if you believe some of the things that we're starting to see with these deaths and issues with fertility and everything else that's happening in our population, you know, if you believe the picture that's starting to come into focus here, it, you know, it's a way of, you know, suppressing our population over time, if not downright, you know, controlling or destroying a big portion of our population, because we do know that these you know, evil actors and these, you know, people who are playing that they are our creator and they are the masters of the universe and they're the architects of, you know, the world going forward, you know, they would like to see a whole lot less of us out there, and they certainly don't want people who believe in liberty or our own personal sovereignty.
And along those lines, there's something that I learned a couple of decades ago, studying hormonal balance and issues. People don't generally think about if a woman is pregnant and is given an injection, okay? The injection obviously affects her body. It can cross the placenta and affect the fetus. But if the fetus happens to be a baby girl, it also can affect that baby girl's ovaries. And so the eggs that are within a fetus within the womb of a mother can be affected by this. And that is a multi-generational extinction event that, you know, we need to stop. All right. Now, people will say, oh, well, you can't prove that. Well, the issue is not for me to prove it. The issue is for the drug companies to show that they did the generational study to show that they're not causing that damage. Okay. It's not that you have to show that they are causing that damage. they have not done any of those types of safety studies. And so in a normal, sane world, this would have never even remotely have been even considered. Now, in the heat of the craziness, if you go back to when reports were coming out of Italy and New York City, and people were just not aware that there were a whole host of things that we don't have time to discuss that were causing deaths in people who were being ventilated, okay? Mm-hmm. But in the middle of that panic, you could almost say, well, people lost their minds, so they did some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
Okay? But now, I mean, we are not in that kind of an emergency crazy situation. The emergencies should have been ended. We should be dealing with not emergency use authorized, you know, experimental drugs on babies. You know, there's a clinical protocol. If you want to do a test to see if something works, you go through the trials. And the problem is, and I think Dr. Zev Zelenko really nailed it probably a year and a half ago when he realized that all of this stuff was being put through emergency use authorization. It's money. They can get yep. things approved like that because, oh, it's an emergency. We don't have to do the studies. We don't have to show the safety. We don't have to show that it actually
works. We're not going to be liable for, you know, deaths and for, you know, this thing not working well or as advertised. No, you're exactly right.
The whole public health emergency declaration, and that's what the whole WHO thing was about. They wanted to be able to declare an international emergency, which the Obama administration actually changed the definition of a public. I don't know if you got into my stuff deep enough, but Exhibit G in the evidence that I presented to people on Wake Up and Smell the Burning of Our Constitution was an 80-some page document from the Federal Register where the Obama administration changed a whole bunch of words. And one of them was the definition of a public health emergency, which it essentially is if the World Health Organization declares a public health emergency of international concern, boom, so can the Secretary of Health and Human Services declare a public health emergency. And so most people are unaware that the Obama administration tied those two things together, and they published that on January 19th, 2017. Now let that date sink in, all right? That's the last full day of the Obama administration just before Trump was inaugurated, okay?
Wow.
And so you're scratching your head going, why are they changing a whole bunch of words? I wrote a whole article called Newspeak where they changed, you know, a couple of dozen terms where, you know, when people are changing the language, you should take notice, right?
Yeah.
One of the phrases that they changed was whether or not something is invasive. And so they twisted the language around really, really well. Under the international health regulations, if somebody wanted to stick something up your nose to do a test, they had to get your permission. Okay? It could not be forced upon you. Well, they changed that, the CDC did, in United States regulations. I would rather have the international guidelines because they protect my bodily, you know, integrity and my sovereignty over my own body. And so what's happening in a couple of weeks on the 28th of June goes to what you were talking about, you know, money and what they're trying to do. Well, there's a whole nother concept that has kind of been their dream for the longest time. They want a universal vaccine. And I think by universal vaccine, they want a universal vaccine platform. They want a universal vaccine delivery system that what's going to be considered on the 28th of June is allowing the drug companies to switch out the mRNA and put in new genetic information. Well, you know, the platform or the delivery system, even though it's known to cause all kinds of trouble, they're trying to say, look, we don't need to do long-term studies ever again. We can just keep putting whatever kind of gene therapy we want in this delivery platform. And if they can get that approved for children and first authorized and then ultimately approved and get that type of injectable into the children's standard, you know, this is what we give to all children. They've got their universal vaccine that they could approve this for children now and change it anytime they want. And if that doesn't scare the bejeebers out of you and get you to stand up and go, oh, maybe it's time for me to say something. Maybe it's time for me to take a stand. Maybe it's time for me to raise a stink and just say, no, this is too far. The public comment period ends on Monday the 13th. The event is going to be happening. It'll be live streamed on the 15th. And I'm just doing what I did with the WHO. I'm just saying, look, people, here are all of the facts. Here is what they're going to be trying to do. And we need to have millions of Americans and millions of people all around the world just wake up in the next week or so and just pay attention and put your thoughts on this, because it really is a turning point. If we as a people, as the human race, if we don't realize that this isn't about Russia versus Ukraine or China and Taiwan or the United States against the NATO and the world or whatever, this is we the people against Big Pharma. Okay? Yeah. We can win that battle, but we have to stop taking, I don't take drugs in any way, shape, or form, but I'm the minority. And the vast majority of people have been hypnotized to ask your doctor if such and such is right for you. Ask your doctor, ask your doctor, ask your doctor, ask your doctor, ask your doctor. Well, why don't you just go ask your car salesman every day if, the car he's selling is right for you? Of course it is. Okay? What are you thinking, people? Nobody has a disease because they have a deficiency of a pharmaceutical drug in their diet. They have a problem that needs to be investigated. You need to look at what it is that's causing your problem, not mask the symptoms of the problem with a poison that gives you symptoms that cover up whatever it was you did, because a couple of months later, you're going to have another problem and another problem.
What you do with most of these things is you defer consequences oftentimes, right?
And multiply.
So, diabetics that have gotten there, through, a physically abusive diet to themselves and, bad habits and things like that, need to change their diets, and you can, get a hold of a lot of things, but that stuff requires, massive habit changes. It requires, some real effort. It's a lot easier to, I'm going to go and, take something to, defer these consequences. I'm going to go, and have, by the way, someone else usually, spend the money in terms of our, insurance costs and, everything else to defer these consequences. Okay, I've got, great misery in my life and depression and things like that. Okay, I'm going to go and take a pill that will, numb me and make me feel, happy. But at the end of the day, I'm not dealing with the underlying issues of the things that are going on in my life. And I'm not, straightening those things out. Or, I have back pain. All right, I need to exercise. I need to, do some things to relieve that pain and heal my back. And, instead, I'm going to take pain pills. There's so much of that has, gone on in our culture that we need to get out of now. And, you're right. But we are fighting, and it's not just, we the people here in the United States, but the world's people, are being, subjected to, an authoritarian rule by these interests and, big pharma and, big business, big corporate oligarchs who are, managing our government and, influencing these leaders are in concert, trying to, smash us down, destroy the middle class, and, make us their serfs.
So, I mean, in addition to researching and reading these boring documents and finding these, you know, little bits of information that, you know, I think are important that the media typically tries to hide, it's also about organizing and connecting with the people who feel the need to do something, okay? And so I've put my phone number out there, you know, on almost everything that I've ever done, and the people who call are just absolutely fantastic. And so it gives me optimism. Amen. It gives me joy to be able to connect to people. And so, but part of it is they always say, well, what do we do? Okay. And step number one is to realize that alone against the big machine, you know, best of luck to you. Okay. That's not how it works. What you have to do is spread the word far and wide. At some point you're going to put this, you know, podcast, you know, slash video slash audio, you know, maybe have it on a bunch of different platforms.
We're going to put it everywhere.
Okay. So whoever's watching and listening to this, right, if you're upset about censorship, okay, well, think about whether or not you're going to censor yourself when you get to the link, when you get to the link to this podcast, and you think about your friends and you go, well, you know, I'll send it to Bob and Mary and Mike, but oh, I don't want to send it to that person because, you know, they're not going to agree with it, or I won't send it. Send it to everybody. Don't
be brave.
Don't censor your own information. If you listen to this audio and you think that paying attention to what the FDA is potentially going to be doing or at least discussing on Wednesday, June 15th, if you think that's important, what I did last night, I had about 2.5 hours that I spent. I got on my phone and I just texted everybody that I had ever texted. Just if you pull up your texts and you scroll down, you see, you know, everybody that you ever texted. I just got to the bottom of it and I texted the first person or, you know, that I had texted many, many moons ago. And then that went up to the top and I just kept texting this information to everybody until I got to, oh, I already sent that to that person.
That's a great suggestion.
Took me about 2.5 hours, but I sent this information to everybody that I've ever texted with.
So in the you know, minute and a half we have here left, how do people follow you? You know, you mentioned, you know, papers and everything. I know I got sent some links, but where do they follow you? Where do they, you know, research what you've already put out? You know, how do they follow you? How do they participate? You know, and if you want to give out your number one more time, let's do it.
The easy way to get to this information, okay, is opposethefraud.com. OPPOSE, the fraud, FRAUD.com. My name is James Roguski, ROGUSKI. And the platform that I put all my articles on, and it's a newsletter. If you subscribe, you'll get an article whenever I write one, is jamesroguski.substack.com. And 310-619-3055. If you're outside of the United States, add a +1. And, you know, if you're on Signal or Telegram or WhatsApp or text message me, I turn my phone off when I go to sleep. So don't worry about waking me up. I'm usually up real early, up real late. But if this is of interest to you, if this is of concern to you, I certainly would love to make your acquaintance because
awesome.
This is really important. And people have questions that you can't answer in a tweet. You know, I mean, it's a little bit more complicated. And I just, you know, love to hear from people who care. And that's what's been happening. It's been wonderful.
Hey, well, thank you so much, James. I appreciate you spending the time with us and, you know, keep up the good work. You know, we'll have the audience, hopefully, I know they'll be praying for you. I know they can, you know, donate through your website and, you know, bless you in that way. But keep up the fight and, you know, appreciate you spending the time. All right, that's it for Liberty Station. Let's make sure that we are a threat to the Great Reset, and let's keep this thing going. Do not let them rest.